Hi, welcome back to Shabbos, Daf 129, Kuf Chav Tes. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi, Marzutra, Amar Me'achzeh, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Chaya Kolzman, Shekever Pasuach. With regard to a woman in childbirth, as long as the womb is open, whether she said, I need Shabbos to be violated, or whether she didn't, one desecrates for Shabbos for her. Okay, making distinctions within that. Of the important klal of Suffolk Nefoshes Lahakel, regard to life-threatening situations, the halacha is that one should be makil. The Gemara then talks about when is considered the opening of the womb. Mishasha teshev ala mashber, when the woman sits on the travailing chair. Rav Huna says that it begins from when the blood flows and begins to come down. Shosas v'yored. Others say, Amr la mishasha chavrosea nosas osa ba'agapeh, when her friends need to carry her by her arms. And then talks about length of time, how long that lasts. The Gemara digresses here a little bit about bloodletting. The Gemara tells the story about bloodletting and drinking wine. That Shmuel, on the day that he would do bloodletting, listen, there's an element of danger involved in all bloodletting, and there were several methods to reinforce the body afterwards. Eating meat and eating organs from the circulatory system, specifically the spleen, was useful in restoring lost blood and replenishing hemoglobin after bloodletting. Wine accelerates circulation, as does warming oneself by the fire. Yochanan would drink wine after blood until an odor came out from his ears. Rav Nachman would drink until his spleen floated in wine. Okay, so on and so forth. Mara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tzalchamim, beg of you, that on the day that you do bloodletting, tell your house, your wives, that Nachman Ikulagaban happened to come visit us, meaning due to the visit of an important guest, the women are going to prepare a big meal, and the husbands are going to eat well, and therefore recover from the lost blood, and they won't be in danger. More on bloodletting, so much so forth. And not being careful about taking, eating well afterwards. It says, Omer Malchayav Lochas, Ani Achosalav, a person takes no pity on his life. Should I take pity on him? A person has to be responsible for their own well-being. Ravu Shmuel Damer Tarvayo Hayman Da'avid Milsa Lishay Purta V'Hadaleikum. With regard to one who does the practice of bloodletting, let him wait a bit and then let him get up before getting up. The Gemara says that one should not perform bloodletting on Mondays or Thursdays because those are the days on which the Heavenly Court of Justice convenes and a person's merits and averus are likely to be reviewed. Rashi adds that on Mondays and Thursdays are also days in which the earthly courts convene, as we know from Ezra, Bavakama 82a. The Medrash learns this from the Pasuk, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, you shall pursue righteousness. And the Medrash says that the Pasuk teaches that the Jewish courts could convene on Monday and Thursdays. Now, where in the Pasuk is there any allusion to Monday and Thursday? So the Vilna Gaon and the Kol Elyo gives an explanation based on the words of Rashi. Rashi says that among the hourly rotations of the seven mazalos, the only time the mazal of tzedek begins at night is on Monday, and the only time tzedek begins a day is on Thursday. So tzedek, tzedek tirdof means that one should pursue justice when the mazal of tzedek begins the day or night, which is on Monday or Thursday. Rashi explains how the heavenly bodies would rotate hourly throughout the hours of the day, and his explanation is based on the perspective of a geocentric earth. An interesting outcome of this ancient astrological science, the source of the names of the days of the week in several languages. The system for the days of the week has its source in pagan mythology. Each of the 7 days corresponds to one of the seven bodies to which Rashi refers here. However, the way they are used as names of the week is in the wrong order. They're not arranged from the innermost to the outermost, nor from the outermost to the innermost. Instead, they're mixed in no logical order: Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. So a look at our chart that I put online shows that it follows a pattern. The idolaters who establish the current naming system believe that in the hourly rotation of the mazalos. So the pagan source of the names of the days of the week are as follows. On the first day of the week, the first hour of the day, the sun rules the heavenly hosts. So the nations of the world, as day starts at sunrise, call the first day of the week Sunday. At the first hour of the day, the second week, the moon rules the heavenly hosts. So the nations of the world called it Monday. At the first hour of the day, the third day of the week, Mars rules the heavenly host, and the nations of the world call the third day of the week Tuesday. Old English would Tuasdog, after the Norse god of war, Madim. In other languages, the name of the day is more clearly related to Mars, like French Mardi or Spanish Martes, so on and so forth. After the first hour, the fourth hour, we get Mercury rules and call the day of the week Wednesday, right? The Norse god Woden. All this stuff that's related to it. Now, we have seen how the days of the week derive from the names of God in Greek and Norse mythology. which raises the question of whether it's permissible for a Jew to refer to the days of the week by such names. The question is related to the broader question of whether a Jew can refer to the months of the year by their Julian names, four of which are named after Roman gods. January named after Janus, known as the god of the doorway. March is after Mars, the god of war. May after Maya, the goddess of plant growth. So and so forth. So similarly, is one permitted to refer to the year by the number used by the Gregorian calendar, which refers to the year of the death of Jesus? So, and can one refer to the hours of the day, 6 in the morning, which to begin the count from midnight? The count from midnight is based on a foreign belief that maintains that their god was born at midnight. So there are two reasons to prohibit using secular names and the days as follows. Maram Shik says that one should not use secular names of months, and certainly not the secular count of the months. The reason is because the secular system does not make Nisan the first month, and the Torah commands its mitzvah to do it. The same logic should apply to days of the week, and the names of the months and the days of the week are based on the names of gods that were used in idol worship. So what are we doing? So the Ramban in Parshas Bo addresses these questions, and with regard to the months, he points out that when the Jewish people returned from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, they referred to the months with their Babylonian names as a way of commemorating the redemption from Bavel. And just as until then, they counted the months from Nisan in order to remember the redemption from Mitzrayim. The Sefer Eikarim understands that since the exile to Bavel effectively ended the liberty the Jews had enjoyed as a result of the redemption of Mitzrayim, there was no longer a necessity to count the months from Nisan in order to commemorate the redemption from Mitzrayim. However, the Perush HaKosev in the Ein Yaakov at the beginning of the Megillah strongly opposes this view and explains that when the Jews left Bavel, they only added names to the months. They didn't change the numbering system. They continued to count the months from Nisan. So one is permitted to refer to each month by its name, but when one gives each month a number, he has to count in the month based on the original system with Nisan as the first month. That opinion is really brought down by the Get Pashut, the Menchas Chinuch, Rav Aji Yosef. Rav Aji Yosef concludes, therefore, that one should refrain from referring to the months by the secular numbering system, with January as month one and so on and so forth. Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Tshuvas and Hagos takes issue with Rav Aji Yosef, and he says that the mitzvah to count the months from Nisan has no bearing on the months of the solar year. The mitzvah applies only to the months of the year, lunar year, and therefore one is permitted to use even the secular numbering system. Rav Sternbach quotes support from that from the Brisker Rav and Chaim Soloveitchik. So based on similar reasoning, it seems that according to all opinions, one uses the names of the days of the week and not their numbers doesn't violate a mitzvah saseh. There are also two reasons to prohibit using the secular names of the year and the hour based on the reasons why we do it. Maram Shik says that one shouldn't refer to the secular year because he reminds himself of the god of that worship. So with regards to that problem, Rav Aji Yosef and others permit one to use the secular because the Shulchan Aruch rules that one prohibit against using the name of a foreign god applies only when one gives a certain chashivas. Rav teaches that one could wrap up a baby born on Shabbos in order to prevent straightening of the limbs and joints. But earlier, 66b, Rav Chaim Bar Guria taught the same ruling, Lefufe Yunuka. But we learned to 123a, there's a whole machlokis on this, Asuve Yunuka and all that. So Rashi says that there are four different ways to adjust the limbs. On the day that the baby's born, you could straighten her limbs by wrapping her in a cloth, even though the spinal column is thereby straightened as well. On the day the baby is born, you can do manual manipulation with one's hands of the bones and the joints. There's a few different options here. Note, it's interesting that the Tshuvas Admas Kodesh discuss at length whether one's permitted to crack one's knuckles on Shabbos, such an action comparable to a manual manipulation of the bones or joints, which is usser. He concludes that cracking knuckles is mutter because the act does not involve actual manipulation of the joints.